All right, did you know that one of the signs of the coming of the Lord is contingent upon the explosion of knowledge? This is in Daniel chapter 12. We're going to talk about that today. I find it very intriguing when I read Daniel chapter 12 in light of where we have gone and the evolution of technology. It's absolutely profound. It's amazing. I thought about this when I knew I was going to talk about this today, and I thought about the introduction of the iPhone back in, 2004? And when that was introduced, that revolutionized how we would communicate, how we would perceive technology, and it changed the world as we know it. We know that now, looking back in retrospect. And the crazy part about it is, when it was introduced in 2004, we thought this was absolutely profound. And I remember, because I was in ministry then, and when we would have these talks about prophecy, this was one of the main focal points of conversation, was the introduction of the smartphone via iPhone or Apple. And now looking back in retrospect, 20 years ago, 2004 to 2024, it is paled in comparison to how knowledge has increased. And it truly is not only profound, but in some essence, very alarming and terrifying. So today, we're going to talk about Daniel chapter 12 in light of where we're going. And we're going to talk about a new report that just came out, wherein which Google has stated that it has accessed parallel universes with its new supercomputer. What does that even mean? Where are we headed? And what are the repercussions? That's what we're going to talk about in today's Prophecy Viewpoint. Let's go.
The following program is brought to you by friends and partners of End Time Headlines.
All right, what's going on, guys? It is Wednesday, December the 18th. We want to welcome you to the program. This is End Time Headlines, news and headlines from a prophetic perspective. Of course, I'm your host, Ricky Scapero, the founder and the voice of End Time Headlines. And listen, do me a favor. If you're watching on Rumble, watching on YouTube, can you do me a favor and hit that like button? That's going to help get eyes on our program and on our ministry. It's a way that you can be a missionary by helping spread the gospel through our ministry. And that's all you got to do is you just simply hit that like button. And then you can take it a step further if you wish to keep up with our content, you enjoy our content, it's of a value to you. You just hit the subscribe button, hit that bell notification. And then we always like to say here that if you would like to make sure that you don't miss any of our programs, any updates, any breaking news, any of this, the best way to do this is download our free app, and it's available on Apple and Android devices. It's just simply download it today, hit yes to push notifications, and you're going to be squared away. Everything's going to be right there. All the headlines, all the updates, breaking news, prophecy viewpoints, everything's going to be right at your fingertips. So as I said at the introduction of this, guys, I want to go to Daniel chapter 12, verse 4. I'm going to read this to you. Daniel chapter 12, verse 4 is interesting because Daniel is told by the Lord himself to shut up the words. Now, he's talking about the words of his prophecy that he foretold. Most of these prophecies are going to come to fruition when we read the book of Revelation, because the book of Daniel and the book of John go parallel, hand to hand. Almost every single thing that is foretold by John the Revelator was told by Daniel, and what Daniel saw, John will see. There's a few differences, and we're not going to get into all that today, but Daniel is told to shut up the words of the book of this prophecy until the time of the end. And what the Lord was saying here to John was, or excuse me, Daniel, was when the fullness of time had come for these prophecies to come to fruition, the seal of the book would be opened, and then they would come to fruition. And notice, look what he says here. Seal the book until the time of the end. And he gives you, again, two major clues as to when the actual time of the end will be. Number one, many shall run to and fro. Again, most biblical scholars, most theologians will agree that that phrase, many shall run to and fro, is talking about means and the evolution of transportation. You got to think about the transportation means of what it was in the day of Daniel versus today, 2024. They didn't have airplanes. They didn't have subways. They didn't have trains. They didn't have vehicles. They had horses, carriages, and they walked on foot. They didn't have the means of transportation that we have today. Okay? So look at that alone. Look at the evolution of the transformation of transportation. It's phenomenal. And then he says, and here's where I want to home in today. Knowledge shall increase. I want somebody type that out in the chat right there on YouTube. Type out knowledge shall increase. Now, why is it significant? Because again, the Lord tells Daniel that the generation that begins to see knowledge increase. Now, we could argue that, well, Brother Ricky, this began to happen in 1947. Knowledge started increasing. And then in the 50s and then the 60s and then the introduction of the home computer and this and that. That's true. But I want you to step back and I want you to think about this for just a moment. Think about the rapid intensification of the evolution of that knowledge. Think about when the first IBM or the first Apple home desktop computer came, the Commodore 64, whatever you had. Come on, how many members of that Oregon Trail? Y'all remember that? The Windows XP and the, you know, when you got on the internet, it made all those weird noises that would last about 30 seconds. And if you got on the internet, everybody in your household would know it. And when you got a phone call or somebody would try to call you, it would show up on your phone and show up on your computer. Man, we've come a long way, haven't we? And now you think about that, those days versus where we're at today. There was no AI then. There was no smartphones then. There was no tablets. There was no virtual reality. So even 20 years ago versus today, even 10 years ago, we didn't have this stuff. Now, we had the smartphones. We had the VRs. We had the 3D. We had all that stuff, but not like on this scale. And I want to show you where we're going or where we're at and where we're going. We all know we could sit here and talk about AI, and that's what we're going to do. But this thing's going to a whole other level, guys. And I think we've reached the point of no return. We're crossing this threshold. Now, this was published back in October of this year. But look at the headline. The next breakthrough in artificial intelligence is quantum AI. You better get used to that because this is where it's at. And it's absolutely frightening what this has the capability to do. It will, quote, reshape our world. And the ever-evolving landscape of technology, a new frontier is emerging that promises to reshape our world in ways we can scarcely imagine. This frontier is quantum AI, the powerful fusion of quantum computing and artificial intelligence. So it's the fusion of quantum computing and AI. It's a field that's generating immense excitement and speculation across industries from finance to healthcare. And it's not hard to see why. Quantum AI has the potential to solve complex problems at speeds that would make even our most advanced classical computers look like abacuses in comparison. It's an interesting word. I've never heard of that word before. But anyway, but what exactly is quantum AI and why should you care? At its core, quantum AI leverages the principles of quantum mechanics to process information in ways that classical computers simply cannot. Now, we're going to get into some high class geek stuff here that's probably over the heads of most people that we're talking to here. But we've got to get accustomed to this, guys. We can't bury our head in the sand, because I believe this is part of the system of the beast. Now, what is the system of the beast? If you're new here, that's Revelation 13. That will be spearheaded by the Antichrist and the false prophet. They will create the system of the beast, which is a buying, selling, trading system, and it will have an image of the beast that will be incorporated with it. So there'll be buying, selling, trading, and worship. All that will be involved with these two players and with what they do. And all that's in Revelation 13. That's what we call, and all this is conditioning society, preparing society, and ushering in the system of the beast, Revelation 13. While traditional computers use bits that can either zero or one, quantum computers use quantum bits or qubits, which can exist in multiple states simultaneously thanks to a phenomenon called superposition. This allows quantum computers to perform certain calculations exponentially faster than classical computers. Now imagine combining this mind-boggling computational power with the pattern recognition and learning capabilities of artificial intelligence. That's quantum AI in a nutshell. It's like giving a genius a superpower. The ability to analyze vast amounts of data, recognize complex patterns, and make predictions with a level of accuracy and speed that was previously thought impossible. Look at this. The implications of this technology are, quote, profound and far-reaching. In the field of drug discovery, for example, quantum AI can dramatically accelerate the process of identifying new molecules for potential therapeutics. It could simulate complex chemical reactions with unprecedented accuracy, potentially leading to breakthroughs in the treatments of diseases that have long eluded us. The impact on human health could be nothing short of revolutionary. In the financial sector, quantum AI could transform risk assessment and portfolio optimization by analyzing market data in granular level and considering countless variables simultaneously. It could provide insights they give investors a significant edge. It might even able to predict market trends. Look at that. Predict market trends with a degree of accuracy that would make today's best algorithms look like educated guesswork. But it goes farther. Again, I told you, this is where it gets terrifying. Climate modeling could benefit enormously with quantum AI, allowing us to create more accurate predictions of climate change, there it is, and its effects. This could be crucial in developing effective strategies to mitigate its impact. In the realm of cybersecurity, quantum AI could pose significant threats by potentially breaking current encryption methods and offer powerful solutions by developing new quantum-resistant encryption. Again, I know your heads are spinning because all of these terminologies and this computer geek stuff. And again, it goes over my head, guys. This is way above my pay grade as well. But we're going somewhere with this, so stick with me today. The transformative potential of quantum AI extends to virtually every industry. I want you to remember that. Manufacturing, it could optimize supply chains and production process to a degree that's currently unimaginable. In transportation, hello, Daniel 12, it could revolutionize traffic management and autonomous vehicle technology, like drones that fly over cities. In energy, it could accelerate the development of new, more efficient, renewable energy technologies. However, as with any powerful technology, quantum AI also raises important ethical and societal questions. Here we go. Now, Here's where I want to switch gears. I want to show you this. Look at this headline right here. Ex-Google CEO Eric Schmidt says that AI will, quote, shape identity and that normal people are not ready for it. Let me read that again. Again, ex-Google CEO Eric Schmidt says that AI will, and I quote, shape identity and that normal people, the average person, you and I, we're average. We're not in the league of these guys. We're not Elon Musk. We're not a Bill Gates. We are not ready for it. What in the heck's he talking about? Let's see what he's talking about here. The former Google CEO says that AI will change how children learn and could shape their culture and worldview. Oh boy, something else to change the worldview. As if we don't have an epidemic right now of people turning from a biblical worldview. I'm sure this is going to help tremendously. Schmidt spoke at Princeton University to promote his forthcoming book, Genesis. Interesting. Artificial Intelligence, Hope, and the Human Spirit. Schmidt co-authored the book, yada, 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 goes on. Schmidt said during the talk that he thinks most people aren't ready for the technological advancements that AI could bring. Quote, I can assure you that the humans in the rest of the world, all the normal people, all you normal people out there, you regulars, you low on the food chain, you people that actually work for a living and blue collar workers, all the normals, you people are not ready for the advancement of AI because you all are not normal. Sorry to say, you're special in some way. The normal people are not ready. Their governments are not ready. What is he even talking about? The government processes are not ready. The doctrines are not ready. What? They're not ready for the arrival of this. Is this a warning? Is this a promise? What is this? Schmidt has advised the U.S. government and the military on technology for years. Back in 2016, he chaired the Defense Innovation Board, which advises the Defense Department, and chaired the U.S. National Security Commission on AI intelligence in 2018. More recently, he founded White Stork, which is a startup that builds AI attack drones. Well, that's interesting. At Stanford University in April, Schmidt says the Ukraine war had turned him into an arms dealer. His vision and concern for AI, however, extends beyond the battlefield. He said, for example, the child's best friend could not be human in the future. Isn't that wonderful? No, it's not. This could present problems. Yes, it can. What are the rules, he said, or he asked. Is it okay that it's equivalent? It's the equivalent of Mark Zuckerberg as just the surrogate parent who gets to decide what your kids learn and what their kids doesn't. Schmidt said that that's why the world should design safety requirements for AI. Playing with the way people think is really powerful. If you think about state-sponsored misinformation, oh, here we go. That's trivial compared to having your best friend be state-sponsored. And they sort of have daily interaction and shape someone's identity, their cultural values. That's a pretty chilling statement right there, guys. He added, quote, in the case where AI is built by one country, hopefully the U.S., what happens to all other cultures? Do we just roll with them? He went on to say that humanity's transition to AI will be rocky and that much remains to be seen about how humans will integrate with the technology. One audience member asked if most people will use a personal AI for videos that make them laugh or for information that's only going to confirm their biases. One of the things that's worth saying is that none of us thought when we invented social media, this is going right with what I'm talking about today, what I said at the introduction is that we would become a threat to democracy. Our own inventions. Quote, that wasn't on the list of attributes, and these are the unintended effects of technologies that touch humans. Now, what's interesting, I'm over here in Romans. Let's go over here to Romans chapter 1. Here's what's interesting. Paul talks about, listen what he says here. Romans 1:18. For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who suppress the truth and righteousness. Okay? Now you got to remember, if you go over, if you go to the book of Jude, let me go there and we'll go back to this. Now let's go, I'm over here in Jude, there's only one chapter. Jude 14, now Enoch the seventh from Adam prophesied about these men. These men are the same individuals in context that Paul is talking about. These evil, abominable men who suppress the truth and adhere to the lie. Enoch says, Enoch prophesied about these men and saying, behold, the Lord comes with 10,000s of his saints to execute judgment on all, to convict all who are ungodly among them of all their ungodly deeds, which they have committed in an ungodly way, and all of the harsh things which ungodly sinners have spoken against him. Look at that. Okay, again, this absolutely agrees with Romans 1:18, right here. Okay, the wrath of God is revealed from heaven. It's coming, guys. That's in the tribulation. Jude is speaking of, again, when the Lord comes back. This is talking about the 1,000-year millennial reign. Christ comes out of heaven on a white horse, and he comes with us, with the saints, to what? Execute judgment. This is the wrath of God that's coming. All right, now when we read on down here, he tells you why. Unnatural affections. He talks about they worship idols. They gave themselves up to uncleanness. He said, now let's get on down here. Watch this. And even as they did not retain God in their knowledge, interesting, that God gave them over to a debased or reprobate mind to do those things which are not fitting, being filled with all unrighteousness, sexual immorality, wickedness, covetousness, maliciousness, full of envy, murder, strife, deceit, evil-mindedness. They are whisperers, backbiters, haters of God, violent, proud, boasters. Now look at this. Inventors of evil things. Inventors of evil things. Now, why did I bring that up? Because this man, let me pull this back over here. I'm going to show you what he said. Again, this is the ex-CEO here at Google says this, quote, one of the things that's worth saying is that none of us thought when we invented social media, this is an elite group of people, guys. This is not the quote-unquote normal people who did this. These are a classification of people who, in my opinion, will be the same individuals that will be handpicked, and you've heard me say this, by the false prophet, because you in Revelation 13, the false prophet chooses people in the earth to create the image of the beast that will both speak and live and cause people to worship it. I 100% believe this, not 99.9, 100% believe this, that these are the classification. These are going to be the hand-picked individuals that will have all the criteria, have all the qualifications, and the, quote, knowledge and the innovation and the ability and the skills to be able to create this thing. And it will, again, will it have, let me go back here, will it have quantum AI in it? Will it possess this power? Now, I've got a, let me show you this. Oh, it gets deeper. This rabbit hole gets deeper and deeper and deeper. So you might as well just buckle up, because we're going to go deep today. Look at this. Google says it has accessed parallel universes with its new supercomputer. What? That's right, ladies and gentlemen. Parallel universes. What the heck is he talking about here? Google's quantum computing breakthrough, that's what we've been talking about, on this past Monday, has left a physicist who heads the project a believer in the idea that we live in a multi-universe. It's getting weird and it's getting more and more weird, guys. Willow is what it's called. The tech giant's new quantum chip succeeded in solving a computational problem so complex it would have taken today's best supercomputers an estimated 10 septillion years to solve it. I want you to think about that. In fact, I've got a video I want to pull up here, and this was from the Glenn Beck program where he was discussing this, and this is a very good dialogue about this. That's why I wanted to pull this up. So let's watch this right here. Watch this.
Let me just refresh your memory where we were on Monday. Where we were on Monday with Willow, which is a new computer chip from Google that they just tested with the new quantum computer. 2 years ago, we talked about quantum computing because it could process 54 what are called qubits. That was astonishing at the time. And I read article after article, once you get over 100, it's going to be like, you won't believe what this can do. And we're at the very beginning. 2 years ago, we were at 54. We're at 105 qubits. A qubit is a way to open up, I don't even know how to explain it, the universe, and test a theory and search for all answers at the same time. So right now, we have to think linearly. We have to think, okay, 2 plus 2 is 1? No. 2 plus 2 is 2? No. 2 plus 2 is 3? No. 2 plus 2 is 4? Yes. Okay? So it's ones and zeros. It's an either a yes or a no. Doesn't have to be, but that we don't have to go into that. Yes or no. And it tests all of them vertically instead of linearly. Got it? So it can come up with answers like nobody's business. And it works with quantum physics, which quantum physics, everything breaks down with quantum physics. Einstein said, God doesn't play dice. Well, if quantum physics is true, perhaps he does a little bit. Because what they're finding now, especially since Monday, is one thing. First, they can solve the most complex problem that we have ever tried to solve. I don't even know what it is. I'd like to ask that question. But it took this new quantum computer 5 minutes to solve a problem that would have taken our best supercomputer 10 septillion years to solve it.
Think about that.
Go through it's million, billion.
Million, billion, trillion, quadrillion, quintillion, septillion.
Okay. That's a lot.
Unbelievable.
In fact, they describe it as vastly more than the age of the entire universe.
Quite an understatement there.
Yeah. How old is the universe, they think?
The accepted one is 13.8 billion years.
Okay. 13.8 billion years. This is 10 septillion years would have taken to solve this problem with our best supercomputer.
And guys, this is why I said, this is what made me think about this. This is why humanity is crossing a line. We're crossing a threshold wherein which there is no return. How long, I want to ask you a question this. How long is God going to sit back and allow humanity to become like him? We are trying to create life. We're trying to mix and mingle the DNA and genetic code of animals and creatures and even humanity and make our own Frankenstein creations. We're trying to create artificial suns. We're trying to control the weather. We're crossing a threshold where, in my opinion, guys, God is not going to sit back. If you ever sat back and wondered, Lord, how long are you going to allow this to happen? You remember the the psalmist said, how long, O God, shall the wicked triumph? When will you come out of your place and judge the wicked? Guys, we cannot be that far away. I don't perceive in my intellect, which is way down here in comparison to where we're at, I just can't perceive and conceive how we could go much further when we have this kind of technology and we're doing these things and we're destroying the earth, destroying humanity, destroying society, destroying animal life, and destroying everything. And it's parallel to Luke 17, days of Noah. The whole earth was filled with wickedness and violence. Every man's heart was evil continually. And that reached a plateau. Excuse me. And God destroyed the earth because of it. So one would have to think that literally, guys, the grains of sand are running out of the glass.
I would like to ask the question, what was the question?
Right.
And what is the answer? And how do you know it's right? All right. So now that happened on Monday. They announced that on Monday. Now the guy who's the head of Willow, the guy who's in charge, he's the founder and the leader of the Google Quantum AI team. He's a physicist. He said the result, the high-speed result, lends, I'm quoting, credence to the notion that quantum computation occurs in many parallel universes. So, I mean, you have to almost go to Marvel to understand. It's as if when they put a question in, all the Spider-Man movies are stacked up on top of each other. You know what I mean? Not the Spider-Man, you know, Spider-Man 1, 2, and 3 with the same actor. He's in one universe, but all the other ones with different actors, they're all happening at the same time. Okay. That's what it means for parallel universe. And he says it shows that that's where the quantum computing is happening. It's going, it's actually opening up and going into other universes. It's fascinating. Do you want to hear why they think that, Stu?
Sure.
It's a nerd. It's very nerdy.
Okay.
But it's really cool.
All right.
Okay. So you know what a neutron and an electron does, right? Mm-hmm. What does an electron do? When you're talking the atomic scale, electron, it circles.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
And it circles the neutron. And the neutron.
I will have to admit that I would be like, Stu, what? Because again, this is over my head, guys. I didn't, you know, science wasn't my, one of my strongholds, and neither was math. I'm just being honest. So when it comes into this stuff like this, my eyes glaze over and you lose me. But he's breaking it down, so let's watch it.
The reason why the electron circles it is it keeps, it's like it acts as a force to keep the neutron in place. Mm-hmm. Without the electron, it just like explodes and goes away. Okay?
Okay. Okay.
So you have to have the electron going around it to keep the neutron in place. The reason why they first came up with quantum physics is the electron, when you observe it, it disappears. No, when you observe it, it's there. When you don't observe it, it's there and then not there. There and not there. There and not there. There and not there. And so it keeps going. It just disappears.
How do you know that?
The energy.
Right.
The energy, it's one or the other if you observe or not. I can't remember which, been years. But the energy goes full, nothing. Full, nothing. Full, nothing. In those nothing areas, the neutron should dissipate, okay? What they thought, this is the theory, is that it's actually slipping into several different universes as it's going around to hold that neutron in place in all these different universes.
What?
Okay? Crazy.
This is really what they think.
Yeah, that's really what they
incredible.
Think. That's that. So that was the theory.
Mm-hmm.
So he's now saying, yep, this proves that theory is where we're doing the computations in all these different universes. Hmm. Now, the problem is over the weekend, there was a massive nerd fight. And another guy who is an astrophysicist, Ethan Siegel, he says, that's ridiculous. And the Google guy should know. And he says that has nothing to do with it, blah, blah, blah. So there's a nerd fight on the, he said, parallel universe and multiverse are very different.
Okay.
Now, I don't even think Marvel can explain the difference. I have no idea. But that's the level of the nerd fight we're in. However, here's what's really cool is at 54 qubits, okay, so about half of what we have now, and don't ask me how this happened, I have no idea. They opened some, you know, a molecule, and they could measure it here, and when it was turned on or whatever, I have no idea. I'm sorry for everybody who is really past an eighth grade education. I apologize here to your head's going to hurt. But they opened it somehow or another, and they were observing it in like Silicon Valley or wherever this is. And then they opened the same one. It appeared in London. And they verified that the changes they made in Silicon Valley were happening with the, it's the same molecule, and it was happening at the same time someplace else.
What?
Isn't that nuts?
Yes.
They thought that time at 54 qubits, they thought that's going to lead us to the discovery of how to travel without airplanes and everything else.
Okay, stop. That's, again, this is why we're talking, this is why we're having this conversation, guys. Because I know we've been caught up with the drones and all that stuff. But meanwhile, this technology is getting out of hand. I mean, I think we're getting ready to step into something that it's in science fiction novels at its finest that we've never perceived. If they, again, they're tapping into things I think is an uncharted territory.
Like instantaneous travel.
Instantaneous travel. Mm-hmm. Wow. That would be mm-hmm. incredible.
Yes.
Okay. So all of these things are coming up. Now listen to this. What they say is, this is such big news because we're going to be able to solve some of the biggest problems. Okay. I want to know what the first question, are you interested in what the first question was?
Sure.
I took that. Okay. I don't know what it is. I'm sure it's just mathematical, but I have no idea what it was. I'd like to know. And do you think these are our biggest problems? When you have the most powerful, they're saying it will tell us how to make batteries better. That's what we're going for? We're going for how batteries can be made better? They said also it could further humanity by curing some diseases.
Okay.
Some diseases?
That's good. It could be big. Could be maybe
not so
big.
Yeah, I think that might be an understatement. I mean, you're opening all this up and you're like, yep, we're going to be able to drive for 400 miles, maybe as much as 700 miles. Come on.
Come on.
There's got to be something bigger than that. Okay. So anyway, as all of this is happening and makes no sense to anybody, I think all of the scientists are even bluffing. They don't know what they're talking about. It makes no sense. Let me give you this story. New sales data from BookScan shows that Bible sales have increased 22% through October of this year compared to the same period last year. I don't know if you know this, Bible sales have been going down for maybe about 100 years. Went up 22% this year. In the first 10 months of the year, Americans purchased 13.7 million Bibles, which Bibles now are on track to surpass last year's 14.2 million. Here's why it matters. Over the same period of time, print book sales increased less than 1%. So people are, you can get it online, people are actually going out and buying paper Bibles for their house and their family at unheard of rates when everywhere else the Bible is going down. Why is that happening?
Good question.
Try to relate it to the first story I just gave you. Nothing makes sense. Nothing makes sense in our world.
Well, I want to interject here. I think it's happening because the chaos, the uncertainty. I mean, I agree with Glenn. Nothing makes sense on a rational scale. But I do. I believe curiosity is at an all-time high right now because look what's going on. In Matthew 24, increase of wars, rumors of wars, nation against nation, kingdom against kingdom, pestilence, earthquakes, famines, pestilence, all these things happening. The drone debacle stuff, the increase of UAPs, the, I mean, goodness sake, the pandemic, the this and it's that and it's this. People, again, that's why Jesus said when you begin to see all these things coming to pass, he tells us as believers to look up and lift up our heads because our redemption is drawing near. But these people, they don't know to look up and lift up their heads. So this is great news. Remember, let's go back to Daniel 12. Many shall run to and fro. Can I give a secondary interpretation of that? Yes, that means, I believe the main interpretation as transportation means, but it also, if you read some commentaries, old commentaries on that verse of Daniel chapter 12, It insinuates that in the last days, people will be running to and fro looking for answers. So I believe this is what's happening. People are searching and they're looking for answers of what's going on in the world, and New Age is failing them. Witchcraft is failing them. Science is failing them. The educational geniuses are failing them. The government's failing them. The system's failing them. Everything that they are, that's tangible, that they can get their hands on, is failing them and not giving them the answers. So you know what they're doing? They're doing what we've been praying for. And they're turning to Yahweh, they're turning to the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. They're turning to the Lord Jesus Christ. So we should be excited about this news. This is great news. Let's get back to this real quick.
You're like, what?
So people are looking for foundational
truths.
They're
looking for foundational truths.
Exactly.
The world is changing so rapidly, and nothing makes sense. This is really good news. This, seeing that, that's the first sign of an awakening.
Yes, sir. Yep.
Where people get so disillusioned with things, they realize their lives, the country, war, science, everything is out of control. There are no experts to listen to. That you're like, okay, maybe I should start listening to myself, and is there something bigger than me that makes sense? This is an extraordinarily good sign. As yes. The world makes less and less sense, the only way to solve this is a return to universal principles. And it will still, do you know that the Big Bang Theory was developed by scientists, and they used it at first, the religious people used it at first to say the Big Bang Theory it proves God exists. And so science at that time accepted it for a little while, and then they were like, no, it doesn't prove. It just started. And it started as, well, that's the way God created. So God lit a match, happened the Big Bang, that explains your expanding universe and everything else. And now scientists use that because they've cut the original part of the theory out, that God lit the match.
And actually, he spoke it into existence. There was no light. There was no match that was lit. That's kind of a weird analogy. But, I mean, you go to the book of Genesis, it clearly says that God spoke, he created, 6 days, and on the seventh day, he rested. There was no big bang. He spoke, and bang, it happened. Maybe that's what Glenn was talking about there. I'll give him the benefit of the doubt.
Leaves you with the question I've asked a million times. Right, big bang. But what lit the match? What was just before it? Where did all of that come from? Who started the fire? That was part of the original Big Bang theory. God. Mm. And they conveniently axe that part to now disprove God. We don't know what the answers are. And with quantum computing, the world's going to look, and science is going to look, very different very fast.
All right, guys, I'm going to leave you with this. I'm going to go to 2 Timothy chapter 3, because this is where we're at. 2 Timothy 3, but know this, in the last days, perilous times will come. Men will be lovers of themselves, lovers of money, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, unloving, unforgiving, slanders, without self-control, brutal, despisers of good, traitors, headstrong, haughty, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God, having a form of godliness but denying its power, and for such people turn away. For of this sort are those who creep into households and make captives of gullible women, loaded down with sins, led away by various lusts. Now look at verse 7. Always learning and never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. And tell me that's not where we're at today. Society is always learning, ever learning. They're always seeking knowledge. They're looking for learning, or they're looking for knowledge. They're always learning. They're expanding their knowledge, expanding their skills, expanding their know-how. They're always learning. But the sad reality is they're never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. But is the tide turning? Has the new polls that's coming out, the new stats that's coming out showing that the increase of Bible sales, is this a sign, guys, that the tide is turning? That now people are coming to the knowledge of the truth? Are we on the precipice of a third great awakening? Guys, I could only hope so. I do believe that, number one, the darker it gets out there, the brighter we get in here. The church should become brighter and brighter and not conform to the darkness. Our light should shine much brighter. The remnant should always outshine the darkness. Number two, this is a mission field for us. You could take a message like this, guys. Go to your friends. Go to your coworkers. Go to your family. Go to your neighbors. You could put this on, play it, and have a dialogue and have a discussion and show them in the Bible what's going on. This could be used as a mission field. Everything that's going on, people are searching and seeking. Sadly, they're ever learning, but they're never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. But that's where you and I come into play. We are the mediators. We stand in the middle between the searching, lost world and a true and living God. And it's our job to reach out with one hand and grab their hand and reach out and come on with the other hand and touch God and connect the two, bring the two together, lead them to Christ. Okay? So we've got some crazy news, but we've got some good news. We've got prophetic news, but again, all of this, again, is exciting for those of us who know the truth. But this can be disheartening. It can be anxious. It can be very anxious, worrisome, fearful for those who don't know the truth. This is why everything that's going on, the drone stuff, people are freaking out, losing their minds over this. But if you know the truth, it doesn't matter what narrative they come up with, and they've got like 12 different ones now. There's so many different angles to this. It doesn't matter, because at the end of the day, we know, guys, who's on the throne. We know who's in charge. We know who's on the throne. And come on, it's the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, and he's coming back out of heaven. Come on, as Jude said, he's coming with us, with the saints. And if he's coming back out of heaven with us, that means 1 Thessalonians, come on, 4:16 and 17, Paul tells us that there's coming a day very soon in the future, my friend, that there's going to be a miraculous event. And in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, the dead in Christ shall rise first, and we who are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds. And we're going to go and be taken up into the clouds, and we're going to be preserved, in my opinion, preserved. Come away, my people, and enter into thy chambers, if it be for a moment, until the indignation has passed. And then when the indignation has passed, the AKA wrath of God, then we come out of heaven with Christ, come on, to execute judgment. This is the second advent. He comes out of heaven. Every eye will see him. Every knee shall bow, and every tongue shall confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. And again, as always, guys, we leave you with Luke 21:28. Jesus said, when you begin to see all these things coming to pass, look up and hold up your heads. Hold up your heads. Look up. Lift up your heads, for your redemption is drawing near. Again, endtimeheadlines.org. EndTimeHeadlines.com. Guys, again, pick up our free app today. It's available on Apple and Android devices. Again, download it. Hit yes to push notifications. You're going to be squared away. Everything's going to be right at your fingertips. And as always, guys, if this ministry blesses you, encourages you, equips you, informs you, all of the above, whatever your relationship is with this ministry, if you would like to become a partner, pray about it. You can do it two different ways. You can give electronically. There's the app. There's PayPal. There's Venmo, there's Cash App. There's so many different ways you could do that. Or you can give by check or money order right there on your screen. You can give to End Time Headlines, P.O. Box 1391, Monroe, Georgia 30655. And of course, you guys on YouTube, right there at the top, it's pinned. It says support. You can click on that link right there. And that's an easy way to also support our ministry as well. So guys, we're going to sign off for tonight. We may be back tomorrow. We weren't planning on being on here yesterday, but we did come on. So we may take off tomorrow. I don't know for sure. I'm not going to say yes or no. We'll see how things go. If I think there's something that's important that we need to share, then we'll share it. If not, and it's kind of a slower day where things kind of settle down a little bit, we may just go ahead and take our day of rest, and then we'll be right back here on Friday. And then, of course, on Saturday, we'll probably come in and do a quick segment on Saturday afternoon as well. So until we see you on the next one, I pray the Lord bless you, keep you, and may his countenance shine upon you. We'll see you later.
Thank you for listening to the End Time Headlines podcast. We pray that you've been blessed and equipped by today's message. For more information about how you can help partner with our ministry, please visit endtimeheadlines.org.